It's a sad but frequent occurrence. A body is discovered, but police have no idea who it is. Just last week, remains were found in Schenectady, New York, and others in Spokane, Washington, and police are still trying to identify a toddler who washed up on the shores of a Massachusetts beach back in June. Well, a new investigation by the public radio show Reveal analyzed a federal database and found information on more than 10,000 John and Jane Doe's, cases that could be days or weeks or even decades old. Michael Schiller of Reveal looks at one case that has haunted a small Kentucky town for 45 years.
It's early in the morning in Harlan, Kentucky. Four police officers wearing gloves and heavy work boots are pulling out dirt and rocks from a grave at the Harlan Gas Cemetery. It's just a small cluster of headstones and grave markers scattered on a forested hillside. A group of investigators watches as debris is placed on a plastic tarp. The only way to reach the spot is along a winding dirt trail that's too narrow for a vehicle. So they're digging the old-fashioned way, with shovels and pickaxes.
Looks like you might have made that other car.
The team is searching for the remains of a young woman stabbed to death in 1969 and buried without a name. Folks in Harlan call her Mountain Jane Doe. The case has haunted Darla Jackson for years. She's a local writer, historian, and funeral home owner, and is at the exhumation today.
I was born May 25th, 1969. She was found June 1st, 1969. It's possible she was murdered on the day I was born.
Darla grew up surrounded by the legend of Mountain Jane Doe. As a kid, she picked berries not far from where the body was found. And there were lots of stories about the mysterious young woman passed down from her family. Darla's uncle even told her he once saw the ghost of Mountain Jane Doe, a girl with strawberry blonde hair.
I thought it was a great story. But what it also did, it just simply brought this crime back into my life. She was a legend. She was a ghost. She was a memory. The more I learned of this girl and her tragic ending, I just really felt for her. And I was so saddened because she had nobody fighting for her.
The shovels crack against shards from a casket that collapsed long ago.
I would love to see a beautiful, intact skull.
That would be awesome.
Standing next to Darla, wearing an orange windbreaker and camouflage baseball cap, is Todd Matthews. It's his job to solve cases just like this one. He works for NAMIS. That's the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System. It's a federally funded organization that gathers information on missing people and unidentified remains in the hope of making matches and solving cases.
There's the face of the casket.
Todd used to solve cases on his own, as a hobby, before he got a job with NAMIS. And he knows how hard it is to make a match. In the case of Mountain Jane Doe, they're not even sure they're digging in the right spot. The only thing marking her grave is a small metal stake.
What's that under there?
It's like a rock.
It is, isn't it? It's not your normal cemetery. It's not laid out very specifically. Even the charts that we have that lay out where the graves are, it's not perfect. These are legends that people have handed down. You know, so-and-so is buried here.
The skull's been, it's collapsed a little bit, but he could probably rinse that off easily.
After a few hours of digging, they find a skull tightly packed in dirt and clay. They carefully remove it, take photos, and place it in a cardboard evidence box.
Good job, man.
The remains will now be shipped to the University of North Texas in Fort Worth. That's where NAMIS is based, together with the Center for Human Identification. Darla says this could lead to a huge break in the case.
I'm very optimistic that this is going to be solved.
Later, we met up with Todd in Fort Worth. He showed us how remains like Mountain Jane Doe are dealt with at a sophisticated forensic laboratory.
And this is the area where they do some of the bone cut, the DNA lab. So you'll see it through these windows. Most of them are closed most of the time.
It's Bone Cut Tuesday. And behind sealed glass, we can see technicians extracting DNA from human bones.
And it's quite a complicated process. It's nothing like you see on CSI. It's nothing that's fast and instantaneous. The genetic code is not a barcode. It takes time, you know, to go through this process.
Once the genetic code is retrieved, it's put into a federal database that contains information on more than 11,000 missing persons. Todd Matthews is keeping his fingers crossed that one of those cases will match with Mountain Jane Doe and she'll be identified.
It'll be either a cold hit, a direct comparison, or nothing. You know, maybe we don't have a missing person that matches this person in the system yet.
Todd says he wouldn't have known about the case had it not been for Darla Jackson. Over the years, she began to feel connected to Mountain Jane Doe, so she wrote about her in a book of local ghost stories.
Okay, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
After the book was published, Todd invited Darla onto a radio show he used to host about America's Missing.
Welcome, Darla.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I remember the day I first laid eyes on Darla Jackson. She was just a true Southern belle. A lovely woman, very compassionate.
Such an injustice. You know, unidentified girl. Killer, never brought to justice. And just simply forgotten on the side of a hill in Harlan County.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a lot of the same feelings that I've had myself for, you know, the cases that I've worked on.
Todd joined NamUs soon after its launch in 2007. And since then, it's helped identify the remains of more than 500 people. Todd says more cases could be solved. But NamUs is voluntary, and some authorities don't put vital information into the system.
I can say there are agencies, medical examiners, coroners, law enforcement, that still today don't know about NamUs. So much as we've done to get the word out, free tools, free science, and still, there are still people that don't know about it.
So we have all this new technology, which isn't always getting used. That means some cases that could be solved aren't. It's been 7 months since investigators dug up the remains from the hillside grave. Back in Harlan, Darla finally gets the call she's been waiting for.
Hello, Darla. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
We do have some news.
Okay.
The remains that were exhumed that day in Harlan County were not the remains of our Harlan County Jane Doe.
Oh, no. I'm in shock. I'm terribly disappointed, but... I don't know what to say. How did it happen, and where is she?
Todd explains that investigators thought they were exhuming Mountain Jane Doe, but they dug up a different body, the remains of a young man buried in the same area of the cemetery at about the same time, also without a name.
And right. I know that you've sat by that grave many times.
Yes.
You've even shared a glass of wine and poured it into the grave, and I know that.
Yeah.
And I want to apologize because I couldn't tell you anything sooner.
It turns out that even during the exhumation, authorities had doubts about whether they were digging up the right grave. But they didn't tell anyone because it was an ongoing investigation.
We didn't lie. We just withheld information.
That's Harlan County Coroner Philip Bianchi.
We started seeing things that day that I questioned. I mean, there were a few things that were present, some embalming artifacts that were present that really should not have been there in her case. It was disappointing. I kind of considered an investigative speed bump or something. It slowed us down some. You know, it certainly wasn't the results we wanted.
I asked Darla how she was taking the news.
It's never been easy, but it's never been boring. I gotta hand that to the case. Right now, what I'm thinking is to get the right grave, we had to dig up the wrong grave. I know she's there. She's in that cemetery, and she's in that area. So now we just have to find her. This is just another step. Now we got to do it again. It's time to exhume again. She's there.
That story from Michael Schiller. He's a reporter with the public radio show Reveal, a co-production of the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. Their show this month focuses on how hard it is to solve so-called John and Jane Doe cases. You heard about how hard investigators are working in those cases, and you've got to think that for all those missing people, there's someone out there hopefully looking for them. And as we mentioned, a federal database has information on more than 10,000 unidentified bodies and about 11,000 missing people. Reveal reporters built a website to help people search through those documents and possibly match a missing person with a John or Jane Doe. We've got a link to that website at hereandnow.org. This is Here and Now.